Hello, I'm going to do an interview today with somebody that I think there will be a lot of people with TFL that's followed TFL for any length of time. Might be a little surprised that I'm going to be doing this interview. There's somebody here that was an adversary at one time. We had a little controversy back and forth with each other, but this comes to show what happens when two people don't actually communicate with each other. And people should learn how to forgive each other and actually talk to each other and understand each other's feelings so they get to know each other. And then they would avoid problems. But on the internet, sometimes that don't happen. But it has happened here, and I'm proud that it did happen. I really am. And this person, after talking to this person, I've discovered there's a lot this person has that does have in common with me, and I think he's discovered the same thing. So with that being said, I'm going to introduce him. Winston Wu is with me today. Hello, Winston.
Hey, Bill. Thanks for having me on. Good to talk to you.
Yes, so how you been doing, Winston?
Not too bad. I came back to the States to visit family and kind of relaxing and chilling and just, making more observations about society and how things are here. Can you hear me okay?
Oh yeah, you're nice and clear.
Okay, great.
The dating scene is what I did there for a long time. On top of I've always done political, but tonight this interview is going to be more addressing probably the taboo topics. The taboo topics of TFL and what Winston does over there with his forum. So you want to tell people a little bit about your forums and what you're doing?
Well, let me start from the beginning. There are so many taboo problems in America, not just with the dating scene, but the fact that there's just no human connection, no sense of community, no true friendship, no camaraderie, no connection with social connection with other people. And we also have the highest rate of mental illness in the world, according to the World Health Organization. And these problems just are so taboo that nobody talks about them, and it's a shame because they really need to be discussed, and people need to know that they can have it better in some countries overseas. For example, I like to meet new people, but it's really hard, especially trying to meet women in America because, I mean, they're just conditioned or something not to talk to never talk to strangers, and so if you talk to them, they think you're a creep or something, and so there's this very unfriendly vibe, and the culture in America is all business. So, I mean, people when they make small talk, it's just for politeness' sake. They don't really connect with each other or get to know each other, and that's sad. I mean, this in most countries it's not like that, and I want people to know that. I mean, ever since I went to Russia in 2002, I was amazed that other countries were not like that at all, and so I realized that this gives hope to a lot of people suffering in America, and so in 2006 I started a website, and then I had a fan list that I converted into a forum, and so now we talk about these taboo topics every day, and not just what's wrong in American culture, but also what people's experiences are in other countries. Because every country has pros and cons, so it's kind of a process to find a culture that matches your personality and gives you what you want, that fits your personality and that makes you happier, which is why my site is called happierabroad.com. Happier, that's IER.com. And yeah, I mean, it just makes me sad that no other website is talking about what we talk about. I mean, there's a lot of websites out there, that talk about conspiracies, about health, about what's wrong with the American economy and all the problems in America. But none of them talk about how hard it is to make friends here and how hard it is to connect with anyone because people are just all business. They're cold on the inside. They're polite on the outside, but inside they're cold. And the women are probably the hardest to in the world to start a conversation with. I mean, they're just so closed. It's even easier to start a conversation with a man in America than it is with a woman because they're much more defensive and much more uptight and much more closed, and they're even like that with each other too, not just with men. So I mean, no other website talks about this. I mean, the mental illness in America, the lack of friendship, the lack of community, the lack of connection, the lack of camaraderie, and it's just so isolating and lonely. And I'm also trying to reach out now to the immigrants, especially in Asia, who think coming to America will make them happy because they can send their kids to a good school and you know, like Stanford or Berkeley or UCLA, and then get a good career after that. And then they think that makes them happy. And that's so narrow-minded. But most immigrants, especially in Asia, don't know about all the negative things in America, like the school bullying, the racism, the bullying, the lack of social connection, how hard it is to make friends. And the longer a foreign immigrant stays in America, the more unfriendly and spoiled they become.
It's the division. It's division.
Exactly. I mean, what I've learned in my research is that you know, especially from studying Noam Chomsky, that linguist guy at MIT. I mean, he said that in America they have to make division. I mean, they have to divide people even more and brainwash them even more, because people think they're living in a free country, and there's no standing army around us telling us what to do. So they have to step up the brainwashing to in order to control people, and they have to divide people more. I mean, in most countries, you don't have this battle of the sexes like you do in America.
Well,
there's not all these personality conflicts.
Yeah, it's divide and conquer. It's an old theory that works, and in America, it's been stepped up to every level. Okay, everything is, like you said, it's all business, and everything's been stepped up. It's been stepped up into every level, from the workplace to the environment to the neighbors to everybody. And people's been divided so bad in America that most people think that this is normal. And it's not normal. It's not healthy for anybody. And so people can't get along, let alone trying to meet somebody in America. It can be really hard to do. If you go out there in a social scene and you try to meet somebody, I'm sure you being over here in America now, you go out in the social scene, I'm sure you're running into all kinds of problems just trying to talk to somebody.
Exactly. And, you know, in capitalism, they say that competition is good. It's good for business. But in the big picture, it's not. Because if you think about it, if your heart was competing with your liver, would that be good for your health? Would that be good for your body? Of course not. I mean, competition just fragments people. It divides them and isolates them. And it's just not good in the long run. You know, even if you make a lot of money in this country, eventually you lose your soul, you lose your sanity. On my website, I have statistics from the World Health Center that says that America has the highest rates of mental illness in the world. And people need to start asking, why is that the case with America, but other countries don't have mental illness problems as much as here?
Well,
a really important question to ask.
Yeah. Well, some of that stuff, Winston, comes from the social conditioning machine, which is the television set, the books and the magazines, and the education system, and the gender roles. It's a complicated issue. It's, you know, it's a pretty big issue because there's lots of factors that goes into it. Okay.
Yeah, there's many factors, but yes. There's just this feeling of tension between people. I mean, you just feel like there's this hostile wall between people.
Well, everybody's got this mentality of everything's a game, a sport, a competition, one up in somebody else. Like an example would be you as my neighbor, Winston, and you put new siding on your house. Well, I want my house to look better than your house, so I'm gonna get a better, more fancier siding, and I'm gonna do this and this to my yard. And so then you go out and see that, and you say, "Oh, well, then I'm gonna buy a better car than he's got, and I'm gonna blah." It's that competition, and everything's competitive. And people think that's a normal behavior, but that competitive has actually helped to divide people.
Yeah, and it also creates this barrier, this psychological barrier. You know, I've been told that if you went to China or Russia and you were in an isolated village, you would not feel isolated because people always want to talk to you. I mean, there's not this ice wall between people. See, here in America, you have an ice wall between strangers. That's why there's the phrase breaking the ice. When you start talking to a stranger, it's called breaking the ice. Because by default, there's an ice wall. And in most countries, especially the poorer countries, there's no ice wall. People talk to each other much more casually, much more relaxed. And there's it's just so much more smooth and natural to talk to people, especially women overseas. It doesn't feel like you're an enemy or you're invading their space or they're, you know, they're paranoid, you know. You know, what's ironic is the streets in America are actually safer than in a lot of countries, but people are a lot more paranoid. For example, in Russia, there's a higher crime rate, but people there are not paranoid of strangers, not even women. And if you go to my site, you can see, like, me chatting up lots of different girls on videos and pictures. And it was like in 1 week in Russia, I would meet more girls than in 10 years in America, literally. And there's just no paranoia towards strangers there. And nobody talks about this. This is an amazing revelation that I discovered. And I mean, people talk about this in private conversation, but nobody writes articles about this or publishes it on the website or talks about it in the public forum. It's just so taboo. And it's amazing how something so obvious is never talked about.
Well, you know, the best you have in America is you look online, and what you find is you'll find MRA, men's right activists, that's Division Against the Women, complaining about the women, okay? And you'll find stuff like that. You'll find they've got websites that's really good in America. It's not good for a relationship, like AshleyMadison.com, or they actually promote for married couples to cheat on one another, and we know what that does to people. And so you don't have any real values here in America anymore. That's gone. I mean, so you don't have that. What you have in America now is what Winston was talking about, and that's taboo. I mean, think about True Force Loneliness, TFL. How many people, if you go all over the internet and look for people talking about the topics that I've talked about for the last 7 years, you can't find it anywhere. It's going to come back to TFL. Or it's going to go to somewhere like Winston Wu on his website. And these are the only spots you're going to find where anybody's willing to talk about this.
Exactly, Bill. I mean, we have the most, you know, taboo movements. I mean, you talk about the same taboo issues that I talk about, you know, except I try to, you know, I mean, I give a lot of different examples and cover a lot more ground, a lot of ground in my articles and books. You know, but we essentially talk about the same thing. I mean, America is a very, very lonely place.
Well, I went after.
I think a lot of people feel that they're just trying to suppress it.
Well, they are. Well, you know, a lot of it, Winston, comes down to this: people have this desire in America to be accepted, to fit in. Okay, and everybody wants acceptance and they want to fit in. And when you have a system that's basically brainwash people into this is how you're supposed to act, this is how you're supposed to be. And then look at gender roles, for an example. Gender roles is nothing but helps the division, because gender roles places one gender in a very high spot over the other gender and leaves the other gender doing all the work. And nobody ever stops to think about that, and they think that that's supposed to be normal. But what that does is that causes friction. And then when you look at the divorce rate here in America, the divorce rate's through the roof. And this makes the courts rich. This gets the system rich because they make a lot of money off divorce. And then, of course, you have the battles between the woman and the father of the kids over the custody of the kids. And then you have the child support. I mean, it's a very deep subject, but it just causes a lot of friction and a lot of division amongst the genders. And it makes it hard for anybody to meet somebody when people are so conditioned and they want to fit in. They want to fit in. So you get a lot of lonely guys in America that spend a long time trying to get somebody in their life. And the first thing that happens to them is they're all the blame. It's all their fault that they can't get somebody. They need to have more confidence. They need to man up. But they're given every reason in the book, and nobody ever asked them the stuff that they've tried. And you get a lot of guys out here that they will take advice from all of their friends and they will try everything in the book. And still, within 1 to 5 seconds, they're rejected. And a lot of that's because of the status quo in America. It's what's been put in people's face their whole life. from the fashion industry to the, you know, the modeling, the fashion, the books, the magazine, what you're supposed to represent in society. And if you don't represent what society says, then you're an outcast.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the big reasons this is not talked about is because you're trained, I mean, you're conditioned in America to blame yourself if you have, if you're not happy or have any problems related to socializing or dating. I mean, you're blamed, you're conditioned to blame yourself. I mean, but the thing is, blaming yourself is not going to change anything, because the real problem is in the culture and the society, because most cultures are not like this, and most Americans don't know that. And that's the great pity, is that if people knew about this, they'd realize how screwed up their society is. And another thing that makes it hard to meet people is that the social life in America consists of closed groups, what I call cliques. And a clique is a group that's closed, not open. And the people in the clique, they prefer familiarity over novelty. They don't like to meet new people. It makes them uncomfortable. They're only comfortable with the people that they've known for a long time in that clique. And so all their socializing is confined to that closed group. And so it's really hard to break in. I mean, if you're new, if you just move to America, to a state or to a new school or something, it's hard to make friends because you have to break into these closed groups called cliques. And some people are good at doing that, you know, and some people aren't. And because I'm too much of a free thinker and I'm not a person that identifies with the group because I have my own mind, I'm a very independent thinker, it's hard for me to fit into a typical clique. So that makes it difficult for people like me who are more sensitive, who think for themselves and are more aware. And so that's a factor too. I mean, social groups are closed here. They're in cliques. You have to break in to a clique in order to have friends. But even if you do, I mean, your social life is pretty much confined within that group. People don't like to meet new people in America. They don't like novelty, especially women. I mean, women don't like people they don't know. They only like people that they've known for a long time. And so that makes it very hard to meet people.
Well, it does. Anymore, you in America, you find out that neighbors ain't even hardly neighbors anymore. You'd be surprised how many people don't even know who their neighbors are.
They've never even met their neighbors. In the 50s and 60s, I mean, people had barbecues with their neighbors. They talked about their problems. And in most countries, people still talk to their neighbors. I mean, they just like to get to know them, and they're curious about them.
Yeah, and, you're correct.
And that doesn't happen here anymore.
No, that doesn't. And you're correct, because if you go into another country and people, they know their neighbors, and their neighbors, and sometimes their neighbors can become their best friends sometimes even. And here in America, that's not the case.
Yeah, and one of the, you see, the people are living very inauthentic lives here. And people have a need to connect, but they suppress it in America because it's not normal to connect with people. You're only supposed to live to work and consume, and all that matters is business, and communication is for business. Time is for business. Everything is all for business. And the problem, I would speculate that living an inauthentic life like this causes your head and your heart to be in conflict. And when your head and your heart are in conflict, that's when your mind develops a psychosis, and so you can have all kinds of mental illness spring up from that.
Right.
That's my theory.
Yeah, well, I know what you're saying, you know, and I think a lot of the mental illness isn't so much as a mental illness as it is people's, they've lost the ability to care. If you know what I mean by care.
Yeah, they don't care about others, but the thing is, it's not just that. They get angry very easily. They blow their fuse.
Well, they do, but when you lose the ability to care for other people, it puts you in an environment where you would blow up and lose your fuse real easy, because you've lost and don't have the ability to care for other people. And so all that's going to bottle up inside you. And in America, what you see is what's promoted the biggest in America is, Winston, is look out for number one. And we know who number one is, yourself. And so selfishness has taken over. And so exactly. You have a business type atmosphere that's all business. Then you have a game type atmosphere. You know, when they say you got to have game in the dating scene, you got to have game. And I've always disagreed with somebody having to have game in a dating arena, because in the dating atmosphere, to have game is nothing more than manipulation and lies, or to put on a front, put on a cover, put on an act. Be somebody you're not. And you can't be somebody you're not. Because if you deceive the person you're just meeting by lying to them, pretty soon they're going to get to know the real you. Then what's going to happen?
Yeah, I think that game thing is just marketing tactics for selling the PUA, you know, material and stuff. You know, I've met a lot of people, and I've seen people pick up women, but I've never seen anyone use game to manipulate women who didn't like them into liking them. You know, usually, you know, if a girl likes you, she knows pretty fast. And it's based on first several things. It's based on your looks. It's based on the chemistry, you know, whether you fit her type or not. And you know, there's a certain energy and chemistry between people that can sometimes create attraction. You know, it's all those things. And the thing is, if a girl doesn't like you and you use game, it's just, you're just going to come across as a jerk. And I mean, she has her type. And if you don't fit it, you know, using games or pickup lines or using PUA tactics, I've never seen that change anything.
No. You know, I've always been dead set against game. Well, and that, and the other thing is human beings' emotions and feelings isn't a game to be played with.
So yeah, and even if that did work, you would attract the lowest quality people anyway.
Well, you would. Plus, you would attract a lot of drama. Because now you've started off getting to know somebody by manipulation, by lies. And people shouldn't have to go there, because another human being's emotions and feelings is not a game to be played with to begin with. Most people's lost the concept. They don't even really know what a date is. Most people in America think a date is nothing more than getting laid. Okay, then they want to brag, I got laid. But that's not a date. A date is designed to get to know somebody.
Yeah, it's not authentic. It's not a real relationship. Even if you use PUA and impressed a girl or made her laugh by being cocky and funny, like David DeAngelo says, I mean, that's just for the short term. I mean, you're not going to get a real relationship or a real connection with that. And you're not going to be yourself. I mean, none of it makes any sense.
No, because, it don't.
Because people don't work in formulas. Getting a girl to like you isn't like fixing a formula or fixing a car or something. I mean, it's not, you can't divide it into you know, a system like that. Either you fit her type and she likes you and there's some chemistry, or there isn't. If you're not her type, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, that's pretty much true anywhere, but in America, it's worse because there's this hostility. The women here just seem to hate men. They hate other people. They even hate other women. I mean, they just don't like people. And their personalities are just very hard to get along, to connect with. Especially with young women here. They're just very abrupt and very cold. And you're not allowed to talk about this. It's taboo, even though it's obvious.
Well, yeah. Well, that's
for you. They're not friendly at all.
No, well, taboo has always been something. There's only one reason you ever give a subject taboo and say it's taboo, and you're not allowed to talk about it. And that's because you're hiding something. That's nothing more than a shield to hide something that somebody has decided this should not be discussed, because they don't want people figuring out that there's something wrong here. And there is something wrong here, something big and wrong. You know, you look around you and you discover that you have, the numbers are actually true. It is really true that you have a high percentage of women chasing after a low percentage of men in America. So you can go 80% of the female population in America chase after 20% of the male population. And the numbers are staggered that way, and that's just, it's wrong. But then when you look around you, you also look around you at the divorce rate. You look at the domestic violence between couples. Okay, you look up at the hookup scene. I mean, they've completely destroyed the family unit. They've completely destroyed people's morals, our people's ability to care about one another. It's been completely destroyed here in America.
Exactly. You know, I watch a lot of old TV shows from the 60s and 70s, and I don't know if you noticed, but the characters on those shows look very kind, they look caring, they look gentle. You know, some examples are like Michael Landon from Little House on the Prairie, the Waltons, and even Bill Bixby in The Incredible Hulk. I mean, they had this gentle, kind look and personality, and you felt like you could connect with them like they were your friends, even though it was through a TV screen. But today, all the characters on TV are not like that. They're very cold and uncaring, and they just want to be tough and kick ass. And they're just empty and hollow inside. And so you could even see what our ideals now are, even from TV and movies. And I mean, the characters are completely different from the 60s and 70s.
Well, TV sets been a great tool that's been used for brainwashing people, and people don't even realize that. Because they can shape your character off that television set, because you take a little child that just brand new baby born, comes home from the hospital, brand new baby grows up in front of a TV set, okay, and you see what's playing on TV. So this is what the kid's watching. And then the kid goes into a school system that's teaching them more of the same, and all the other kids are seeing the same type of programming. And people don't realize that that has a big impact on the child's life, what the child's actually going to believe, think, and how they're going to act.
Yeah, but it's not just the TV, it's their peers, too. When they go to school, they conform to how everyone else is acting. And if they see everyone else being rude and cold and uncaring and nasty, that's what they're going to adopt. I mean, you see, most people, it's really sad, but most people conform to their environment. If you put an innocent person into a really toxic, unfriendly environment where people act spoiled and unfriendly, most people are going to conform to that and become that, too. That's the scary thing. You see, I don't want to be that way. I don't want to lose my soul. I don't want to lose my humanity. I don't want to lose my emotions. I'm not like that, so I don't want to conform. And so I suffer for that because I refuse to become toxic and dysfunctional, because this society is very toxic and dysfunctional.
Well, you're correct about that. That comes back to the same thing I brought up a minute ago, and that was that people's ability to want to fit in. But they're fitting into a toxic environment. So they become toxic.
Yeah, and that's sad. I mean, the problem is most people are extroverts, and extroverts like to conform. They have no inner life deep down. They don't have a sense of who they are inside. So they try to find their identity outside, in groups, in culture, in their work, with their peers. And so they just conform to whatever is around them, and they learn to conform rather than criticize it like I do. Because, you know, because if you're an introvert like me, you can, you know, you're more aware, you can see things the way
they
are.
Well, you know, I don't really say you're an introvert, Winston. What you're doing is you're using your own mind. You're your own individual human being. You're not thinking with the group think. You're thinking for yourself. Okay, so you're being your own individual human being as you're thinking for yourself. And when you're raised in a society that we got over here, you're not supposed to do that, Winston. You're supposed to think like everybody else. And because you refuse to think like everybody else, one of my sayings is, I like to say, the brain inside the jar. Our Aaron Russo statement would be, groupthink is no think. Okay, and that's really what that comes down to. But everybody wants to fit in, and to fit in, you have to think like everybody else. And you're not thinking like everybody else, Winston. You're willing to be your own person, your own individual human being, and you don't want to give that up, and you shouldn't give that up.
Yeah, that's true, but even if I did fit in, you know, I mean, a long time ago, I used to try to fit in, and I tried to be a conformist, but even if you fit in, I mean, most people still don't care about you, and most women still don't want to go out with you, even if you do fit in. So it's not like there's much of a benefit even if you do fit in.
No, there isn't. Because you gotta,
people mind their own business, and women, yeah.
Well, on the women's aspect of things, see, gender roles had a lot to do with this too. A lot of guys don't think about this, but I'll tell somebody this way. Put yourself in somebody else's shoes and just sit back for your own self and think about it for a second. Like, okay, Winston, let's be just for a couple minutes. Put yourself in the female shoes. Now think of yourself as of you as a female in a society where gender roles says that you really do nothing, but in society, the gender roles have given you all the choice. So you're approached all the time, all the time, all the time, right? So then you picked out somebody you approached, and maybe you've rejected this many, whatever, based on chemistry and attraction, and you've picked out somebody you're with that person, right? Well,
right.
You're still going to get approached. Even when you're with somebody, you're still going to get approached, and you're still going to get approached. Every time that somebody you're with isn't with you, there's somebody approaching you. And a lot of the guys out here, they don't want to take no for an answer. So even if you say you're with somebody, like one of my nieces was telling me, she was with the guy for 3 years, and her friends was telling her, you've already been in one of them long enough. These guys are telling her this. And it's our turn, you know, and they try to put peer pressure on her to get her to break up who she's with. So females are constantly being hit on by guy after guy after guy. Because gender roles have said that the guy is the one that does the approach, and the guy is the one that does this, the guy is the one that does that. Well, if you as the female now, you think about this, and you're with somebody, and you like that somebody you're with, you're not interested in looking for somebody else, but you're constantly hit on all the time, all the time, all the time, pretty soon you would become frustrated and angry with that. And that's some of what you're witnessing. When you look at the females being seem to be the way they are, that's the reason you're seeing that in some of the females, is because this is what's happened. Guy after guy hits on them, hits on them, hits on them, hits on them. Pretty soon, at first they enjoyed all the attention. But when they really get a little bit older in age and they decided this is the person they want to be with, and this trend still happens, then that can become irritating and annoying. And then you become sort of like angry against your opposite gender because they're constantly hitting on you. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that could be too. But I mean, it's not just women that are taken that do that. I mean, single women that don't have boyfriends will tell most guys, oh, I already have a boyfriend too, if they try to talk to them or ask them out.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
So it does. But supposedly men and women are supposed to, I mean, the amount of men and women are supposed to be the same, about 50-50 almost. But it seems like there's a lot more single guys than single women.
Well, there is. In reality, you're right. There is.
It just seems like that. And I don't know why it is. It's just so lopsided. It's like, you know, the women do have more choices, but at the same time, they act very unfriendly and spoiled. I mean, you can't just start a conversation with them on the bus or in the store or in a public park. I mean, it just comes off as creepish and negative. But the thing is, in most countries, even in Europe, I mean, it's much easier to start a conversation with a stranger, including a woman. They're not like that over there. So even though women have that excuse that they're getting hit on all the time, I mean, how come in a lot of other countries they're not that jaded toward men about that? I mean, they're much more modest and sweet and feminine, and they appreciate compliments.
Right. So, so on your forums, and you try to, I know it's a happier abroad. In other words, for guys to try to meet people overseas, okay? And if a guy meets somebody overseas, I would still have to say you need to take the time to get to know the person. Don't just jump into a relationship with somebody you don't know.
Well, yeah, of course, that's common sense, you know, but ideally you want to save up some money so you could spend some time with her, with the woman in her country, to see if it works out.
How hard is it for him?
Always meet someone else.
Yeah, well, Winston, here's something. Just to the guys out here, of guys thinking about going overseas, let's say he meets somebody overseas somewhere, and he talks to them for any length of time. How hard is it? Do you give them an idea of what paperwork or what they have to go through to be able to go over there?
Well, it depends on the country. For example, when I went to Russia, I'd have to go through a travel agency or a website to get a visa. I'd have to pay for that visa in advance. And then when I go to Russia, I'd have to get it stamped. And for example, if I, this was back in 2002 or 2003, I don't know what it is now, but if I got a 30-day visa to Russia, for example, it might cost, I don't know, it was maybe $50, $60 or something using the travel agency. If you went to the embassy, it'd be cheaper, but you'd have to stand in line and go through more hassle. So most people just use a travel agency or to a site like gotorussia.net. And then you can extend that visa by leaving the country, getting another visa, going back. So as long as you're willing to pay for the visa, you can stay there longer. There's even visas for 6 months and a year that are multi-entry. But these are usually you need a visa to a country that's a formerly communist country like Russia or China. I mean, China's still communist, but Russia is former communist. So you need visas to those countries. If you were going to Asia, for example, Southeast Asia, like Philippines or Thailand, you could get a visa in the Philippines and then every 2 months extend it by paying like $60 or sometimes a hundred. Well, actually, no, it's like more like $100 now. And now you can extend it for 6 months, I heard. There's a new law. So that's what there's a lot of guys that live there and do that. They have a tourist visa, they extend it every 2 months, and then you just have to pay for it. But that's not the biggest expense. The biggest expense is finding a place to live, like renting an apartment or a hotel and paying, daily food allowance,
Now, what do they
daily
do for
food.
work? Okay, so if a young man was to save up some money and he saves his air flight and he gets up with his visa through a travel agency, like you said, what does he do for an income once he's in this other country?
Well, that's a good question. There aren't as many young guys there, but there are some. I guess some of them teach English, or some of them find work there by they have connections or something, and they find some corporate job, like in Manila or in Makati, for example, in the Philippines. Other people just teach English, but you don't make that much when you teach English. You just make a little bit to get by. But in the Philippines, most Western guys that live there are retired. They have a pension either from their job or the military, and they live off that pension every month, and it's enough because cost of living there is cheaper than in the States. They can live on less and afford more. So most guys I know have some kind of pension there. That's in the Philippines though, not
Right. Well, the
somewhere
reason
else.
I brought that up with the young guys is because there's a lot of young guys that are struggling so hard. And I still have guys get at me quite often, and they're struggling so hard and can't get somewhere in their life. And of course, they go through all the typical stuff that we've talked about, blaming themselves because they're taught to blame themselves. And they try to look for everything they can do to change themselves. And then they'll have illusions about, well, I got a guy named Brandon, and I won't say any more than just the name was Brandon, and he's an African American, okay? And he was thinking, well, if I was a white person, then I would have better luck, but that's not a reality. And then he was thinking, well, maybe as soon as I get success and I have successes in a big income, a good, successful career, and that's not even a reality. And so, but you got a lot of this going on. So if you took a young guy that was on an average job, who didn't make a lot of money, but was struggling so hard and couldn't give in his life, now let's say he comes on to Happier Abroad and he decides he wants to try, and then he meets somebody overseas. This is the reason I asked for the young guys. What kind of steps and how much money, give them an idea of what it would take for them to go overseas so that they see that you're up front what it's going to take them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, it depends on where you're going. You know, if you go to a poor country like Philippines or Thailand or Eastern Europe, the cost of living is cheaper. But I mean, you can live cheaply. It depends on how well you want to live. You can live in a nice apartment and pay a lot more, or you can live in a small apartment that's lower quality and pay maybe $100 or $200 a month in rent. There's many ways of affording it. You know, some guys live on very little a month, you know, but they have a very frugal, minimalist lifestyle. It depends. But I mean, the best way for a young guy to go overseas is to save some money first. Like, for example, even if he has a minimum wage job in America, he should, you know, paying rent is really expensive in America. So it's better if you can to live with your parents or something. And then you can save up that money a lot faster by not having to pay rent. And then you can afford, like, depending on where you're flying to, like you could fly to Europe from the East Coast for $500 or $600, depending on the promo. And that would be round trip. If you're in California, you can go to Asia. It would cost a little more. It might cost $800, you know, but if you get the ticket 2 weeks in advance. And then once you go there, if you want to live long term, you can meet people, try to get a job or try to teach English, you know, and that's how most people do it. I mean, that's how a young guy could do it, you know. And if you just want a temporary job, you shouldn't, you know, go to a company in America and tell them you want a permanent job. There's a lot of temporary work, but you'd have to get them through temporary agencies like Kelly Services, Manpower, or Express. There's a lot of temporary agencies in America that'll give you temporary work where you can save up money for a few months. And then you just have to live frugally and not waste that money on. So it takes budgeting skills, you know, too. I mean, it's nothing is easy, but if you really want to make something happen, it's possible. Even if you were working at McDonald's, if you just saved that money, lived at home, and not spent it, not wasted it, you could save up, you know, $500 or $600 for the airplane ticket, and this would be round trip, and then you'd need some money for hotels or hostels or whatever, or an apartment, or you could use websites like Couchsurfing.org or HospitalityClub.org, where you can find people to stay with for free too. There's options like that. So if you want to check out, it's couchsurfing.org, and there's also hospitalityclub.org, and those are sites where you can meet people, and then they'll host you in their house or their apartment for free, and that'll save people a lot of money if they're traveling. Just got to remember that where there's a will, there's a way. And the thing is, a lot of expats I know are very private. They don't like to talk too much about their life or their past. And so even when I have expat friends in the Philippines who will not tell me what they do for a living or how they afford to live there. Some of them are just very secretive and won't tell me too. So I don't know how they make a living. You know, I guess there's different ways, but some people that live overseas don't want to tell anyone for some reason. And sounds a bit shady, but a lot of guys are secretive that live overseas.
Well, that does sound a little shady, because if they're not willing to say how they're doing it, I mean, okay, I can understand that sometimes, you know, if you get too personal, then it's really none of somebody's business. But if you hide it completely, then I would almost say there's something shady going on. At least that would be my opinion. I'm not saying there is, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's my opinion too, you know, but I don't know. I mean, if they're doing something shady and it works for them and they're able to live overseas, you know, who's to judge, you know, as long as they're not hurting people or killing people, you know, I don't really care what they're doing, but they might have it might be something that looks bad and they don't want to talk about it. But some people who live overseas just have a lot of money and they don't want to discuss how they got it, you know. Maybe they got it through unethical means, but there's a lot of people like that. There's a lot of people running away from America. Some of them could be fugitives too. You never know, you know.
That's true. That is very true.
All of them. Yeah, almost 100% of guys who live overseas said they would not ever want to go back to dating American women again or dealing with the dating scene in America. They said, "I'm so glad I'm out of that." And the taboo topics that you and I talk about, you can talk about them with most expats who live overseas. I mean, unless they have an American wife that they're living with overseas, most of them will talk about the stuff that we're talking about, and they'll agree with everything you say too. Because once you're outside of America, you can see it a lot more clearer than if you're inside of it. because when you're outside of something it and it's at a distance, it's a lot more. I mean, you can see it in a more clear, detached manner than if you're inside of it. It's harder just to see what's going on.
Oh, I know what you're saying.
You have a contrast.
I know what you're saying. Because, you know, it's like an example is a Filipino woman who come over here. And within 3 years from being in America, she became Americanized. Now she became, you know, the toxic society. And so now she wasn't even the person in the culture she grew up in no more. She just totally changed.
Yeah, and that's really sad. So a lot of guys on my forum don't even want to bring their women back to America. They prefer to live in her country. And that way, you know, they don't run the risk of her being corrupted or spoiled by her coming here. Plus, America is really expensive to live in, especially the healthcare. I mean, if you have medical problems and you don't have health insurance, it could really bankrupt you, and that's really dangerous. And in other countries, I mean, healthcare is not that expensive. I mean, it's much more affordable. And plus, you know, if America someday becomes fascist or something, you know, you have a way out. For example, you know, if we have some type of dictatorship or something, you know.
Well, we're fastly headed that way right now. But that's a whole different topic. But
that's something to consider. Yeah.
Yeah, but as far as the dating scene topics goes, you're correct. I mean, taboo subjects is one of the reasons TFL is here is because it's quite real. You know, and it's sad that guys should have to leave their own country to have somebody in their lives. But when you live in a toxic environment where everybody's divided and everybody's been brainwashed from the time they was a child, people don't even see it. This is where you're correct. You go overseas, you're not here. You find a whole different culture, people, different environment, people are more friendly. And you realize everything's totally different. And then you look back over here and what do you see?
Yeah, and you see, to a man, you see, deep down, I mean, I think most men will agree with this. The most important thing is to wake up and feel like you're wanted, like someone needs you, you know, rather than no one needs you. Because deep down, a guy wants to rescue a princess. He wants a woman that cares about him, who needs him. And when you wake up every day feeling like you're needed, it does a lot more for your mind and your self-esteem and your psychological health. I mean, it just does wonders. And when I lived in the Philippines for a few years, every day I woke up and you know, girls were approachable. You could flirt with them. You could talk to them. And I just felt like I was appreciated. And that made me feel so much better about myself every day. It's just so refreshing to have that, knowing that you could meet girls anytime you want and that they're friendly, they're approachable. And I like to flirt. One of my things is I like to flirt a lot. And when I flirt in Russia or the Philippines, girls actually giggle and blush and they actually enjoy that. They reciprocate. It creates some exciting energy or dynamic. Whereas if I try to flirt in America, it seems like it's creepy and inappropriate it's just vilified. And so in that sense, I feel suffocated in America because I can't flirt here. So, you know, all you can do is enjoy the fresh air and all the consumer choices we have. That's the only good thing that I like about America is all the consumer choices you have and the beautiful nature and the fresh air. And there's so many beautiful national parks and mountains and open space. I mean, America is very beautiful in terms of its land. But in terms of connecting with other people and in terms of meeting women, it's got to be one of the worst places, if not the worst in the world. I mean, it's just.
Well, I think it's right up there with United Kingdom.
Yeah, well, I've heard mixed things about United Kingdom because, you know, my other friend that you interviewed, Mitchell,
right,
a while back, he told me that he's corresponding and talking to a girl from England and a girl from Ireland, and he said that he connects with them much better than anyone in the U.S., that it's so easy to talk to them and so smooth, and they're just so down to earth and mature and nice. they're just so different, he says. And so everyone says something different when it comes to the UK. You know, I guess some people's personality fits, you know, and vibes with certain cultures better than others. And it all depends on the chemistry you have. Just like two people can have a certain chemistry with each other, a person in another country can have a certain chemistry with each other too. Like, for example, take Japan and Taiwan. Taiwan is where I was born, and I'm Taiwanese by descent. I mean, some people love those countries and say they're very friendly, and other people say they're very cold and unfriendly, you know, similar to America, because everyone vibes with those cultures differently. And so there's that's at stake too, you know. There's people just have a different chemistry or different synergy with different cultures. And so this, you know, different people can come to the same place and see different things. I mean, some people, you know, come to America and they feel like they're happy and they fit in too. You know, there's people like that. There's some immigrants that like America better than their own country.
Right. True. So,
and it's
what's
really
your...
weird. I don't know why. I guess their souls just, you know, vibes better, or maybe
right.
They were American in a past life or something. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I couldn't answer that one myself. Well, so, what's your success rate on your forms over there? Have you had it helped a lot of people, be able to young guys get over there? Or?
Yeah, several people were inspired to go over. I mean, a lot of people were inspired to go overseas, and several people got married after they read my articles and ebooks, and then they posted their wedding announcement in the forum. If you go to my forum, you know, at happierabroad.com, click on the community link, and then click on the section that says member trip reports, it's trip reports and travel experiences. If you click on the trip reports section, you'll see a bunch of stories and testimonials from people posting their adventures overseas. And some of them got engaged, but the majority of them said they had a good time and that they saw things that validated what I said about it, you know, people being friendlier and easier to connect with, and women being more sweet and feminine and down to earth. So,
well, I have to agree with that, because I was to the Philippines. I was at the opposite side of the country. I mean, I landed in Manila and waited a 5-hour layover and got on another plane and flew across to all the islands. Okay. And I was over there for 13 days, but not a long time. But during that 13 days, the environment was definitely, it was not like the United States. And the people over there were so much more friendlier. Family oriented. Yeah.
Yeah,
they were totally family oriented. I mean, you know, they were strong family.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you compare their families to American families, it's so different, because in the typical American family, the kids and the parents don't even like each other. They argue with each other, and they're not very, very, they're not very close and caring. Whereas in Asia, not just in the Philippines, but in Asia, families don't yell at each other. They seem to get along so harmoniously, because everyone is taught to be modest. They're not taught to be arrogant. They're not taught to be assholes. I mean, if no one thinks being an asshole is attractive in Asia. They like people who are modest and good-mannered and good-natured and nice. And so people are just naturally nice, and so... The problem with, I mean, there's not as much personality conflict in Asia as there is in America. And, you know, on the other hand, in America, people tend to have really toxic personalities. So even people who are friends, if they hang out too long, like if they travel together or they start living together, they'll get on each other's nerves, because people just can only handle each other in small doses in America. After a while, they get on each other's nerves, because there's just so much personality conflict in America. There's personality conflicts, not just with your friends, but with your boss, you know, with your wife. I mean, people just don't get along very well. It's not smooth or natural. It's like we have these toxic personalities. And it's just so refreshing to be around people who are modest, who are not trying to be arrogant and competing with you all the time. And so, yeah, I mean... In other countries, you don't have this problem where people are yelling with their parents and arguing all the time and
yeah, all the drama.
Yeah, I mean, people from Holland told me that in Holland, once you grow up, even if you're in your 20s and 30s and 40s, people always remain close to their parents. They're always close to them. They're always there for them. They always care about them. There's always a relationship. There's always a positive symbiotic relationship with the parents. Whereas in America, you know, once you move out, a lot of people don't even care about their parents. They don't even see them very much. And it's like people here just don't like each other. It's really weird.
Oh, I know. It's toxic. It's totally toxic. You don't got too many people to get along anymore. I mean, I've seen situations to where family members can't even get along. It don't matter. They hate each other's guts. They can't even get along.
Yeah, and then when they meet during Christmas or something, or Thanksgiving, they just put on this poker face, you know, like they're, you can tell they're polite to their face, but deep down they don't really care about each other. They don't connect. I mean, they just don't give a shit about each other.
Oh, I know. I know how so well what you're talking about. I have family members that were cousins that two brothers did not get along, and whenever they were in the same room, it was like the tension was so high, you could almost cut a slice with a butter knife, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I just don't know why people just don't like each other in America like that. It's so weird. It's like everyone hates everyone else, and for no reason. It's like someone programmed it, or it's like they're possessed with the demon of hate or something.
Yeah, well, actually, it is. Well, your first word was correct. It's programming. It's like programming. Well,
you,
I know.
You know that movie Invasion of the Body Snatchers a long time ago, and the sci-fi movie. You know, there was one from the 60s and one from the 70s, but that's what it's like. I feel like everyone's possessed by something. Like an invasion of the body snatchers.
Oh, yeah, like they're possessed with demons or something.
Yeah, or like some alien force, like, which is what that movie was about. And for some reason, I'm immune. People like me and Mitchell and you are immune to it. We don't get into that because we're more sensitive and not like that. And another thing that I heard, you know, from several immigrants is that when you're if in America, if you lose everything, like if you go bankrupt and lose your job and lose all your assets and hit rock bottom, nobody cares about you. No one's going to help you. You're just going to become an alcoholic or a bum and just go crazy. Whereas in other countries, like, for example, like Mexico or Philippines, people have strong social networks and family networks. So if they hit rock bottom, if they lose everything, they have a lot of people that will help them come back up again and help them get back on their feet. It's, you know, their families care about them and their friends care about them. Everyone will help them if someone hits rock bottom. Whereas in America, nobody cares about you if you hit rock bottom. And that's a scary thing.
That is so true. That is so true. You've got family members out here where one family member hits rock bottom, they're homeless on the street, and their family don't even care about them. Their family leaves them on the street.
Yeah, and their friends don't either, you know.
Yeah.
It's just sad, you know. There's a lot of people, you know, out on the street suffering. No one cares about them. No one loves them. And there's people inside their homes that are lonely and isolated. No one calls them. No one visits them.
You even have married couples. You even have married couples here in America that are miserable. They're just the same as being alone. They're miserable.
Yeah, they're just roommates, you know, and they don't even like each other. I don't know. It's like people, the longer you stay here, the more you lose your soul and your emotions and your humanity. It just dehumanizes you and destroys your soul. And it's a very scary thing.
It is. I have to agree with that, you know. Well, you know, I would tell people definitely go over and check out Winston's forms. You got nothing to lose. I mean, you know, society over here in America has been messed up for a long time. And I wouldn't have been here all these years doing TFL if it wasn't for this same topic. And it's very taboo. And even to the day, 8 years running with TFL, I can honestly still say this. You can't find anybody else on the internet, regardless of where you go, talking about the topics I've talked about. Unless you're on TFL, or unless you go over to where Winston's at over there on Happy Abroad, you just don't find nobody talking about it.
Yeah, you won't even hear, you know, any other alternative websites talk about it. I mean, there's so many alternative websites and conspiracy researchers, you know, like Alex Jones, David Icke, and you know, Jordan Maxwell, and there's alternative health sites like Natural News, where people are trying to educate people about the dangers of drugs and pharmaceutical drugs and food and everything. There's so much alternative good information out there, but nobody talks about loneliness, isolation, and unfriendliness in America.
Well, that is so true. You know,
it's so weird.
Well, there's a guy up there. There's a guy up on the internet. Okay, Schaefer's in Towering Inferno, whatever you want to call him over there. Okay, and one of the things he had one of the PMs that he had sent me about a year or so ago is, he said nobody wants to feel lonely. Okay, and that was his answer to TFL, is nobody wants to feel lonely, so nobody's willing to talk about it.
Yeah, that's very true, you know. And so, I mean, this is important. Mental health is important. Social connection is important. Love is important. You know, having, you know, being with a woman you like is important. All those things are important, but people don't talk about them. Instead, they talk about economics. They talk about wars in the Middle East. They talk about government becoming fascist, you know, and you know, all those things are outside of your control, and it's kind of shallow to just focus on economics and stuff, and because what we talk about is so important, and this, you know, because you know, your friends and your loved ones and your mental health, they affect your life a lot more than money does.
Well, they do, because
in some ways this is more important.
Well, you know, what you're talking about here is, because if a person truly can't find happiness, then they're miserable, and that's not good for your health.
Yeah, and it's ironic. I mean, America is supposed to be like the richest country, but people don't look happy in America. They look angry, they look empty, they look irritated. It's like there's a deep emptiness in this country, and it's so sad, and I don't know if it's just the culture or the environment. I mean, it looks like there's some type of deep emptiness that just you can just feel it in the air. It's like there's this depressing energy that wants you to be depressed and wants you to be miserable. And I don't know where it comes from, but it's like the collective energy of people. I guess if a, you know, there's kind of a collective unconscious. If a lot of people feel, if you're in a room, for example, and people are angry, you can feel the energy of the anger. I mean, you feel the energy of all the people around you, even all the thousands of people in your city. You can feel that energy of their state of mind. And the energy I feel is a very depressing and degenerate and state of mind, very empty and depraved. And it's just sad. I wish more people would talk about this, and I wish, you know, more people would listen to this. And so I've sort of made it my mission to, it's like kind of like my calling to talk about this, because nobody else is. And so I'm really glad to have someone like you who will be willing to talk about it too, you know.
Well, I've been doing it for a long time, and I'm glad that you're here still trying to do your thing, because it's all we can do is try to help others what we can. And hopefully some guys that are struggling out here will listen to this and gets anything, if you get anything out of it all, just remember, be yourself. Okay, don't change yourself for somebody else. Be yourself. But respect people around you, you know. Treat them the way you want to be treated yourselves. You know, because that's important. And then maybe if you can talk to somebody, if you have trouble, I mean, I would tell you to go over and visit Winston's site. You can come over and talk to me, or go over and talk to some people over on the forums where Winston's at, because at least the people over there in them forums, you can talk about these topics without being cut down, called names, and being told how it's all your fault.
Exactly, and you can get inspiring testimonials from people who have been overseas and you know, found a better life, you know, in terms of dating and social connection and living a more authentic life and being free to be yourself.
Exactly.
See, if you're not free to be yourself, you're going to become mentally ill, because you can't. You can't breathe if you can't be yourself. And
no.
In America, I think it's really hard to be yourself because people act standoffish, they act distant, they act like plastic mannequins. They're not allowed to have any real emotions, because everything is cold. It's all about business. And so if you want to express your emotions, if you want love and companionship and romance, I mean, you just can't be yourself here because this culture is not conducive to that. And so it's guaranteed you're going to develop a mental illness at some point. And even the World Health Organization said that 50% of people in America are going to develop some type of mental illness in their lifetime. You know, I have the statistics from them on my forum and website to show this. You know, 50% is a lot. And so that just speaks volumes.
It does.
Because if you can't be yourself, you're going to become mentally ill. And and the good news is for people who are suffering, the good news is that they can realize when they hear this that the problem is not them. The problem is in, you know, their society and how dysfunctional it is. And that's sort of good news because it validates people. They realize the problem is not them. And so they don't have to blame themselves.
Exactly.
Depressed or and some of these people could be suicidal too. I mean, we're trying to save these people's lives.
Well, that is true. You know, there's a big percentage that people don't even realize of that become suicidal because of this. And, you know, when you're told it's your fault, you ain't got confidence, you don't have game, and you're given all these cop-outs. If you realize what Winston just said is true, then you realize it's actually not you. It's the culture. It's society. And I know people want to say, no, it's not society, but it is society. It is the society in America. It is the social conditioning machine. It's what's happened in this country. And it's just sad to see that this country's gone the way it's gone. But until people can get care back, until they can actually get care back and start caring for other people as much as they care about themselves and be themselves and start being more open and caring about other people, it ain't going to change. And so then the best option at that point would be go over to Winston's site, check out what the man has to offer you. Because at least it's better than nothing.
Yeah, and you know, as the Bible says, the truth will set you free. You know, even if you can't change your life or change anything at the moment, as long as you know the truth about it, at least you'll be liberated mentally.
Right.
At a certain point, and it'll be good for your mental health. I mean,
that you can finally that and you can meet people over there just like you have over at TFL that you can actually communicate with and talk to. That's not going to be slamming you and calling you all the names of society over here in this toxic society of America is going to do to you. At least if you go over there, you can actually find people you can talk to.
Yeah, people are just so much more authentic in most countries overseas. And I mean, words can't really describe what I'm talking about. Once you experience it, it just validates you and you kind of eventually you realize it all. And you know, my forum is always open and available, and just go to happierabroad.com and click on the link to the forum or the community, and there's a lot of people there that'll talk to you about this, offer advice, validation, and there's just really good camaraderie there.
Yep, well, that's what I would suggest for people to do, and I appreciate your time, Winston.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you and to talk about these things. I mean, because you can't talk about these things anywhere else. I mean, if you go to other websites, nobody's going to want to talk about this. If you go out to your neighbors, to your relatives, nobody wants to talk about this. They're all in denial about it.
Yeah, they are. So, you know,
it's special that we can talk about this.
That's exactly it. So that's why, you know, and I've done this interview with Winston today because I wanted to do this. Maybe we could get some more help for these people out here. And I would definitely suggest go over to Happier Abroad and check out what Winston has for you. You can always come by my channel up on YouTube. It's Bill1224601 or TFL Truth. And PM me if you want to talk. Otherwise, go over there to Happier Abroad. And I definitely appreciate your time, Winston.
Yeah, I'm really happy to talk to you about this and you know, help get these things out because they're really, it's really important to get this message and these truths and out into the public as much as possible.
Well, everything Winston said is true, okay? It is society. Just remember that. And at least these are two spots that you know that you can go to and find somebody to talk to. And don't be ashamed because you're struggling so hard to get a female in your life because there's millions of other men here in America that are in the same boat you are.
Yeah, okay? And I just want to help give them hope, too, you know, because if you don't have much else, you know, at least hope is the most important thing. Every person needs hope, something to hope for that's realistic.
Yeah, exactly.
We can offer some of that, some real hope to people that are suffering out there, especially in America.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks, Winston. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, I hope to talk to you again.
Yep. Yeah.